This is Sarah Tucker on Purbeck Coast Radio, and this is The Alternative Show. About once a month, I'm going to be talking to authors. I'm going to be interviewing authors. And the first one I've got here is a lady called Fern Arfin. She's actually an actress and a travel writer, and that's how I met her, through travel writing. But she's written this brilliant novel, and it is brilliant, and it's beautifully written, set in Ireland and New York. It's called Tunnel of Mirrors, and I'm going to be talking to her a little bit later about the book, what inspires her as a writer, how she came up with the story, which is actually very, very interesting. And also she'll be reading two very brief excerpts from the book, and you can see really how beautifully written it is. And also it's got a lot of plot. I would say it's like a modern day Dickens. Anyway, before we speak to Fern,
this is Purbeck Coast.
Hello, that was Natasha Bedingfield Unwritten, paperback writer by the Beatles, and the wonderful Kate Bush, Wuthering Heights. And this is Sarah Tucker on Purbeck Coast Radio and The Alternative Show. Now, back to Fern Arfin. As I said, I will be interviewing authors about their books, getting them to read out excerpts from them, not every week, about once every 6 weeks, because I am determined to have a Swanage Literary Festival and to get these authors in. Only the best storytellers, and Fern is definitely one of them. So this is Fern talking about the story of Tunnel of Mirrors, but also what inspired her to write the book. Fern Arfin, your book, Tunnel of Mirrors, what inspired the story? And for people who haven't read it, because it's basically, you said you wouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it about your book. It is a modern-day Dickens. It's a beautiful, beautiful read. What, for those who haven't read it, describe it for me.
Well, it's a love story, but it's a very stretched-out love story. The lovers are on opposite sides of the Atlantic, and they come from different worlds. It was inspired by something that happened to my own grandmother in the 1920s. When she was 16 years old, she cursed a wedding, and within a year, the bride had died. And it changed her life completely. I wanted to write that as a jumping-off point to a different kind of life. So I wanted to rewrite her story with a different ending, and that's what I did. And I also like the idea that when people fall in love, intensely in love, sometimes they feel like they've known this person forever. And I thought, well, maybe they have. So the idea is life is finite, but love is not. And these two people in my story, although they come from different worlds, across the Atlantic from each other, and there are different religions and different cultures, they end up, because of circumstances, meeting on the docks of Lower Manhattan, and they're fated to meet each other. So that's the background of my story.
It's very much about storytelling as well. How is that? It feels very much as though you're fascinated by the idea and what leads to storytelling and the impact and power of storytelling.
I think that's true. I mean, both the cultures in this story, the Irish culture and the Jewish culture, the Eastern European Jewish culture, are cultures that are full of storytelling, and people they pass on their culture by telling stories to each other.
Your feelings about the story and the fact that it's based on a true story, it comes out in your writing, so
it's
that's to be expected.
Only inspired by a true story, not based on it. It just takes off from that point. People have asked me, is this a true story? It isn't. But some of the incidents at the beginning of the story were told to me by my grandmother, but I took it in a completely different direction. In terms of storytelling, I come from a family where people talk a lot. Everybody, and it's very competitive, very typically Jewish. Irish families are like that too. Especially, this story is set on Rathlin, which is an island off the coast of Ulster, where the tradition of storytelling is very strong. And I think it's interesting that people shape They don't only pass on the culture through the stories they tell, but they actually shape their lives through the stories that they tell and learn from each other. So there's a lot of storytelling in my book. Kieran, who's the main male character in the book, he's a Shanahi, which is a storyteller. And Rachel grows up in a household of women who tell stories all the time. And in particular, she has an aunt who is Romanian, who is very credulous and tells all kinds of stories that everybody disapproves of, but she's fascinating to listen to. And when the women talk to each other about their husbands, about their lives, about the old country, they share stories. So that's kind of how I built this book.
It is really an epic. I think this is why it's being compared to Dickens, because not only are there that it's such a strong plot, and I remember my editor saying to me, and sort of a lot of authors are told by they want to actually write a novel, and they're asked what is the most important thing, and it's plot, plot, plot. And this book, Tunnel of Mirrors, definitely has it. But also something that Dickens has, and this book has as well, and you can see by your reading, because we're going to have you reading in a minute, so excerpts from the book. The characters are so rich as well, as though I know you said that it was inspired by, but these people, have you met them, Fern?
In my imagination, they're all sort of accumulations of characteristics of people I've met or people I've heard about. Because I trained as an actress, and I'm very interested in cinema and drama, I tend to write in terms of scenes, and I listen to my characters speak. So the characters' words shape who they are. I don't know if that makes much sense, but the only way that I can write is to go into a quiet room and listen until my characters come alive in my head. So there's lots of different voices. There's Irish voices, there's Jewish voices. And because it's set in the Lower East Side, but in Lower Manhattan, in just before and right after World War I, there's Italians, there's Chinese. They're all there's a lot of characters in the story. I think that's why some people have said Dickens, because there's so many characters. But I never thought of it that way.
Streaming 24/7, we are Purbeck Coast.
More from Fern later, but let's have some music and Purbeck Coast Radio. So let's ask Fern, what got her into writing? What inspires her to write a novel? And also, let's hear a little bit more from the book itself.
This is from a chapter called the Shanahi, which is an Irish word for storyteller. And it's an introduction to the character of Kieran, who is kind of the hero of the story. And it's when he was a child. He was a singing child. Before he could properly stand, he would join in the ceilidhs, mimicking the sounds of the instruments, bouncing and kicking in time to the music. It was useless, Flora trying to soothe him with a lullaby. He would simply clap and sing along, his enormous eyes flashing and alert. But he was slow to talk. He waited so long to comment on the world, they worried at first that he might be simple. When at last he spoke, it was clear he had his share of the McMurrah family gift. "We caught a mermaid in the nets today, ma'am, but I sent her free when Dad Tommy wasn't a-looking." "Did you now? And what did she look like, this mermaid?" "She was lovely, she was, indeed. She had long curly hair, pretty green like the seagrass we gathered over by Corgi. And she was covered all over in scales. Shiny they were, all blue and green and silver." "And ma'am?" "Yes." The boy's eyes glittered with such innocence, Flora thought it would near break your heart. "She didn't have nothing on her to cover her boobies." "Ach, you wicked, wicked boy. Be off with you now and wash your hands for tea." "Yes, ma'am." "And when you're saying grace, you best mind to ask our Lord to forgive you for making up such naughty tales." "Yes, ma'am. You ask Our Lady and all." This chapter is called The Essence, and it's about Rachel, who is the heroine of the story and comes from a different part of the world. She comes from the Lower East Side in Manhattan at the turn of the 20th century. and she is doing things behind her family's back. This is with her friend Bessie Costello. Bessie Costello was 17 years old. Her parents had died of the Spanish flu in 1918, so she lived on her own in a rooming house in the Bowery. Bessie had yellow curls and the kinds of curves that never go out of fashion with the boys. "Boys don't never dance with girls who wear corsets," Bessie said. She wore rouge on her lips and smoked cigarettes in the street. She could dance the black bottom and the foxtrot like nobody's business. People said she was going to hell. Bessie Costello was Rachel's best friend. What did they have on? Bessie and Rachel sprawled on Bessie's frayed carpet while Bessie colored her fingernails. Rachel read the papers out loud. "I don't know, it doesn't say," Rachel said. She ran her fingers along the column. Wait a minute, here it says. "The Reverend Mr. Hall and Mrs. Mills were found locked in a death embrace behind the abandoned farmhouse in New Brunswick." It doesn't say. It was 1922. Mussolini had marched on Rome to set up the world's first fascist government. In Ireland, the Free State was declared and civil war broke out. Warren G. Harding and his cronies were using the White House as a get-rich-quick scheme, while in California, a man named Kalmus invented Technicolor. Niels Bohr won the Nobel Prize for describing the atom, and three Canadians extracted insulin from a cow's pancreas. But for Rachel and Bessie, whether Theda Barrow wore underwear was much more important. And what really mattered was what whatever made the front page of the New York Daily News.
Purbeck Coast.
So that was fun. If you are interested in buying the book or finding out more about Fern, just Google her, Fern Arfin, A-R-F-I-N. Her book is available on Amazon. And